Actually, it's very intimidating after, especially after some of the articulate and entertaining presentations that other board members have made. And while I hope this is your takeaway, while this is my story, much more importantly, it's also representative of what Carolina offers to first and family college students. Somehow, I got on this program, even though I did not grow up in Fayetteville and have never even been to Fayetteville. Tony may pull the rug under me for that. But I grew up in Gastonia in a blue-collar textile neighborhood. I don't know whether many of you, Bill does, but know much about Gastonia. But there was a radio station. It was all textiles when I was growing up. And there was a radio station in Gastonia that had call letters called WLTC. And that stood for World's Largest Textile Center. So there were more textile mills in Gaston County than any other place in the world. Very few of the people that I attended grade school with, which is grades 1 through 8, went to college. I am especially grateful, and this is the emotional part for me, to my parents who made incredible sacrifices for me to come to Carolina. My mother grew up on a farm during the Depression, was a high school graduate, became a beautician, and operated a beauty shop in our home. One example of the sacrifice that my parents made is my father, who was considerably older than my mother, had a stroke in the summer before I came to Carolina. My mother, to make ends meet, then went to work in a cotton mill from 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, and then worked in her beauty shop till 7 at night. My father, who, this was obviously, he was older, after his dad died, this was clearly before child labor laws, he had to quit school at age 10 to go to work to help support his family. He also lied about his age and joined the Army and served in World War I. But somehow, my parents appreciated the importance of education. Because I never heard, if you go to college, it was when you go to college. And another example, I think, of their appreciation of education occurred after my mother died at an early age. My father enrolled in a community college at the age of 70 to get his GED. I was always interested in sports, and especially Carolina sports. And when I was a boy, I would take a radio out into our backyard and pretend that I was Charlie Justice while I listened to the broadcast of the Carolina football games. And I would also listen to the basketball games back when the team was actually called the White Phantoms. And the leader in that team was Bones McKinney, who later played professionally, and then you probably know him as a Wake Forest coach. But it was an unusual time for Carolina basketball. Somehow, a family friend who happened to be a pharmacist took an interest in me and brought me to Chapel Hill for a football game and a visit to the pharmacy school. It's a good thing Steve Farmer's not here. At the school, they gave me an impromptu test, and upon completion, they said that if I applied, I would be accepted and would likely qualify for a tuition scholarship. I was elated, without thinking much about whether I wanted to be a pharmacist. So I came to Carolina, and I don't think we had a guidance counselor in Gastonia High School in 1956. So I came to Carolina in the fall of 56. It was a pretty exciting time, especially for a sports fan. Jim Tatum, before his untimely death, and he'd played at Carolina and won a national championship at Maryland, was building the football program, and the basketball team went undefeated and won the national championship. And I was an usher, so I never had to get in line to get basketball tickets. I got to see every game. I loved Sam's comment when they had a celebration, 3 years ago, of the 57 national championship team and then the 82 team that Sam played on. And I read in the paper that somebody asked Sam, "Are you excited about meeting or seeing your old teammates," included Michael Jordan and James Worthy. And Sam's comment was, "Yeah, but I really want to meet the 57 guys." Is that an accurate statement, Sam?
Yes.
Anyway, I went out for the freshman baseball team and was fortunate to make the team, especially since I was the only player who had not participated in fall practice. And I was lucky enough to be a starter. After my freshman year, I assumed my baseball career was over, since no one had gone to pharmacy school and played varsity sports in more than 20 years. But in the fall of my sophomore year, one of my roommates, who was on the baseball team, told me that Coach Rabb said that I was going to be the starting first baseman on the varsity. So I went to the dean of the pharmacy school to ask if this was doable, and Dean Brecht was very supportive and helped me adjust my schedule, since the pharmacy curriculum was very rigid. One change was to move a chemistry class from the spring of my junior year to the fall of my senior year. Because of her extracurricular activities, like the University Concert Orchestra, Nancy Faison made the same switch. So we were the only two seniors in a junior class and got to know each other in the process. Nancy was also Rho Chi, which is the pharmacy school equivalent of Phi Beta Kappa, and I certainly could use her help. Ironically, we had our first date shortly afterward, and happened to be on the night before the pharmacy school senior class made a traditional visit to a pharmaceutical company. We went to Eli Lilly in Indianapolis. At that time, you enrolled in pharmacy school as a freshman. You had two electives in 4 years. And in order to play baseball, I took my first elective by correspondence. In my final semester at North Carolina, I took the second elective, which was a North Carolina history course taught by Dr. Hugh Leffler. He made it so exciting by assuming that you had read his textbook, and I think this was the textbook used in the high schools in North Carolina, but also the textbook he'd written for Carolina. And therefore, he devoted his lectures to what was happening in the rest of the world at the same time. I loved the class, would sit on the front row, and all of a sudden I realized what I had missed at Carolina. My Carolina life was really focused on pharmacy school, which I wasn't particularly fond of, and especially those Saturday morning labs that went from 8 a.m. to noon, and then you had to rush off to a football game or a basketball game. But however, I couldn't afford to start over, because in pharmacy school you enrolled in day one, and I couldn't go back to general college at that point. My other focus was baseball, and I was fortunate enough to start all 3 years on the varsity. We had very good teams during that period. We tied for the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship both my sophomore and junior years. And then in our senior year, we won the NCAA, the ACC, NCAA regionals, and became the first Carolina team to go to the College World Series. The NCAA regionals happened to be played in Gastonia. And the Piedmont section of North Carolina, all these textile towns, baseball was the lifeblood of the entertainment in that community. Basketball, I think, came later after David Thompson and Phil Ford and James Worthy and Michael Jordan, but then it was really baseball. In the regionals, talking about Gastonia for a second, how many of you have seen the movie Bull Durham? I'm glad Hogan's not here, because he probably wouldn't raise his hand. Well, there really was a Crash Davis. Unlike Kevin Costner, who was a catcher, he was a second baseman, he happened to be my high school and American Legion coach. Now, I never knew this at the time, but somebody later on in life sent me a Duke alumni magazine to read. There was an article they wanted me to read. It's the only one I've ever seen. I hope to never see another one. But I flipped through it, and all of a sudden I see this little caption about Lawrence Crash Davis. And I said, oh, you know, I know that name. He graduated from Duke in like 1942. By then, all of the really good Major League Baseball players had been drafted into the military. So he goes straight from Duke University to the Philadelphia Athletics, played second base, not a catcher like Kevin Costner. And then he got drafted. So after he got out of the war, he wasn't good enough to play in the majors, so he played at Durham, then became a player manager at Durham, and in the early 50s came to Gastonia as a history teacher and baseball coach. So after I read this article, I wrote him a little note because I had a really good series at the NCAA regionals in Gastonia, and after it was over, the owner of the local professional team asked if I wanted to play there that summer, and I said yes after the College World Series. So I wrote Coach Davis a little note and says, "Dear Coach Davis, in my 1 year in professional baseball, I don't remember quite as much profanity. I never saw sex in the locker room. But most importantly, Susan Sarandon was a major league groupie. There were no Susan Sarandons hanging around the Western County League when I played." Anyway, I had already accepted a pharmacy apprenticeship, and at that point, you had to, after graduation, you had to spend a year, it's like an internship in medicine, working as an apprentice before you could take the state board exam. So I'd accepted a job in Gastonia, was living at home, and after passing the state board exam, I quit my job immediately and went to work for Eli Lilly. Since the drugstore had let me work and play baseball, though, I gave them a two-week notice. Otherwise, I would have quit the same day. And that's got some relevance later. Nancy and I also got engaged the night before I left to join Lilly and were married later that year. When I joined Lilly in 1961, it was the second largest pharmaceutical company in the United States and had revenues of less than $200 million. The revenues in 2009 were almost $22 billion. So I was really fortunate to join a growth company in a growth industry. After a few years in sales, and I moved three different times, and Lilly, by the way, at that time only hired pharmacists as sales reps, I was selected out of 1,000 sales reps as a guinea pig for a new program in the home office. So I went to Indianapolis, found myself surrounded by MBAs who had a much wider range of business skills. So after a year, I applied to the Harvard Business School, only applied to Harvard, was accepted, enrolled, had housing. Nancy and I were going to be so poor, we were going to live with a three-month-old child. They'd give us an apartment on the Charles so we could walk to the business school and weren't going to have a car. But the company came back and recommended that I apply for a fellowship at the Sloan Foundation, Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, to attend the Sloan program at either MIT or Stanford. I got a fellowship. I opted for Stanford because they had the liberal arts component, getting hopefully part of what I missed at Carolina, and for the opportunities also that Stanford provided for Nancy. The Sloan program was also financially attractive because the sponsoring company had to pay all of your educational expenses and your salary. So it was a wonderful time for us to live on the Stanford campus. I could ride my bike to class, and we had no financial worries. After Stanford, I was fortunate enough to have an exciting career at Lilly. I worked there for 32 years. I worked in every part of the world and in every line of business. I even got parachuted in as the chairman of Elizabeth Arden. And in the early 70s, many pharmaceutical companies bought cosmetic companies. Made no sense. After my 1 year in this job, I recommended to Lilly that we divest the business. They'd never had a divestiture since they'd been making acquisitions, and fortunately we did it. But Lilly believed they could bring pharmaceutical research and development capabilities to skincare, which was Elizabeth Arden's real franchise, and they did. And there were also manufacturing synergies. For the ladies in this room, one of the manufacturing synergies you might not be happy to hear, but lipsticks are made by exactly the same process that suppositories are made by. So we also had the opportunity to live in London, which was a wonderful experience for our family and also for our two kids. When I was named the president and CEO, the press release said that I was the first pharmacist to become a CEO since Eli Lilly, a grandson of the founder. I thought that was somewhat humorous because, as I described earlier, I was only a pharmacist for 2 weeks. In the end, though, the education at Carolina, along with Stanford, was extremely helpful in my career. In addition to my 32 years at Lilly, I've served on the board of directors of 16 companies, most in the pharmaceutical, biotech, and medical device industries. But the most important aspect of my Carolina time is I met Nancy, my wife, confidant, and best friend for 49 years. She's also been a wonderful mother to our two kids, both of whom graduated from UNC. Our daughter now works here in the School of Social Work. And for us, it's always a pleasure to come to these meetings, not the hardship that Jordy talked about, because our only grandchild is here. And they were at the picnic last night, so you may have met him. But our involvement with Carolina in the last 15 years, since I no longer had a day job, has given us a much greater appreciation for the passion of the faculty and the staff to provide educational opportunities for students and to make the world a better place. And we feel fortunate to be part of the family. Thank you.